Welcome to another episode of Fit to Teach, where every Monday we provide evidence-based health and wellness information to support teachers and school employees on their wellness journey. My name is Kyle Favenbach. I'm an associate professor of health and human performance at Eastern Oregon University and director of the EOU Lab for Exercise Assessment and Performance, which we call the LEAP. I'm joined by LEAP intern Nathan. What's up, Nathan?
What's up, Kyle?
For Fit to Teach, each week we provide a summary of a research paper that provides insights into some aspect of health and wellness, and we also suggest an achievable action item that teachers and staff can focus on for the week. The goal is that by trying these activities throughout each week, healthy habits will accumulate, and you can find out what health and wellness activities are a good fit for you. So let's get into it. This one, I think, is really interesting and exciting, and it's something that we've gotten a number of questions about. Today, we're going to be talking about resistance training. When I talk to people about resistance training, there are a lot of questions about it. It's similar to discussions we've had with walking, where people want to know, am I doing it right? How much is enough? What do I do? How do I know if I'm doing it? These types of questions. And I think that's what we're going to try and address today. The paper we're looking at today is a 2023 paper. The primary author is Jonathan Weekly, which is a little ironic.
Oh, Weekly.
And the title of the article is Physiologic Responses and Adaptations to Lower Load Resistance Training Implications for Health and Performance. This group of authors took a look at a whole bunch of different studies that examined weight training at low weights. The way they define that is relative to one rep max. The maximum amount of weight a person can lift in one rep, and then a percentage of that. A lot of people think that weightlifting they're intimidated by it. It's this thing where you have to go to the gym, you have to load up. I don't know how strong I am. Is this enough weight? Am I doing this? That person over there is doing that. And this article really does a good job of explaining the benefits of using lower weight, the benefits of it for aging populations. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I think it reduces the mental barriers people may have in terms of what is weightlifting. And you realize if you just have some like dumbbells or relatively, if you have things around your house, bands, dumbbells, or machines, it talks about using machines because they guide the movement and are safe. These things can be very effective in terms of weight training. What did you get out of it?
Couple things that I thought were really important. This is a direct quote. Lower load resistance training can be a viable and effective method of developing muscle hypertrophy and strength. This talks about less than 50% of one rep max. And just to also just mention that hypertrophy just means muscle growth.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you what hypertrophy.
Yeah.
So muscle hypertrophy just means muscle growth. There's a lot of traditionally the way people think of building muscle is that they have to lift heavy things. Mm-hmm. What this more recent evidence is suggesting through a variety of different studies is that you can lift lighter amounts. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to one, is adding muscle mass a goal? That's the first question. So if adding muscle mass is a goal, but you want to use lighter weights, it does seem that you can add muscle mass by using lighter weights and increasing the number of reps close to failure. Mm-hmm. So the article talks about that. Now, I want to be really clear here. This is not a recommendation to run out, buy 10-pound dumbbells, and do reps and shoulder presses, do curls and shoulder presses until absolute failure. Mm-hmm. You'll be very sore. You want to take these things slowly and put something into place that you can maintain over a long period of time.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I think I have a little anecdote, actually. Reading this article was super helpful for me, especially with the breaks coming up. When I go home, I like to weightlift. I like the gym a lot. And I don't have access to a gym or a full set of dumbbells that I would like. And so I've had to work with what I got at home. So resistance bands, dumbbells, and those kind of things. I always tried to work out there and I felt unproductive. now this article has shown me I can actually make a lot of progress, or at least maintain what I've built when I had access to that gym, which is super helpful. The article doesn't say this directly, but they do mention that when you're away from your usual spots of exercising, you can make do with what you have and still get progress.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a really great point, because you're being adaptable. There's real physiologic basis and evidence behind being able to maintain what your goals are and what your fitness goals, even though mm-hmm. there's been a change in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to adapt to your environment is a super important part of creating a sustainable approach towards exercise. If we take a 30,000 foot view of this, why are we even talking about this? Resistance training is super important. And a lot of people, some people have an appreciation from that. Other people think, oh no, I need to do moderate vigorous like cardio and stuff like that. The evidence is very clear about the benefits of resistance training. And the evidence is also very clear about the gains that people can make throughout aging. Lifting weights is not just for hard training athletes. Lifting weights is very important for normal everyday functioning. Mm-hmm. And it will help with, from thinking about teachers, it will help with posture. It can help with back pain. It can help with stabilization. It can help with ambulatory stuff as we age. Do we have the capacity to continue to walk at a rapid rate, go up and down stairs and do all these different types of things? Can we lift the things that we need to lift and do the movements that we need to move without avoiding injury? From a physiologic standpoint, there's a lot of benefits. One is bone density. A reduction in bone density, especially with postmenopausal and aging women, is a real concern. Osteopenia and osteoporosis are two things that can occur. And we know that lifting weights is the number one thing a person can do to maintain bone density, build up bone density, and reduce the degradation of bone density. The other thing that occurs as we age is we start to naturally lose muscle mass. One of the themes in Fit to Teach this year is how can we maintain muscle mass through a combination of exercise and nutrition? And weights is one of those things. But in terms of like general recommendations, you'll hear from like things like the American College of Sports Medicine, they have these really specific recommendations for getting your cardio in, and they're really good about defining what is this? How can you get it? Is it biking? Is it riding? Is it running? Is it walking? They have these discussions about it. And then they're like, oh yeah, by the way, it could really help if you did 2 days of weight training per week. Mm-hmm. People are like, what does that mean? And that's why we wanted to bring this topic up. So there are, I'll ask you, you have parents that are in this like a middle age bracket to stay in shape in terms of weightlifting.
It's actually hilarious what my mom does. And she'd totally be fine with me saying this, obviously. But she'll go downstairs, pull up YouTube, and grab 2 cans of beans.
Absolutely.
Do a HIIT workout.
Stands for high intensity interval.
The video, usually it's a woman doing 2-pound weights and a lot of different things. My mom grabs these beans and then she'll have a little hand weight, probably about 2 pounds. She'll do it. And that's her workout. I told her this, and this is something we can also dive deeper into another podcast. When you are doing cardio, weightlifting is very important for injury prevention.
Yes.
And I think when you say weightlifting, a lot of people think immediately like bodybuilding, getting muscle, but it's also super important for general health and maintaining your ability to do that cardio and the walking that we talked about, even on a smaller scale. If you're starting to go on these longer walks and you're starting to feel sore or hurt, doing some light resistance training, especially on the lower body, can be very helpful.
This goes from the professional runners that I work with spend significant time in the weight room, not trying to get bigger, but trying to work on these muscles that help them keep their form when they're tired. This is the same thing that you're talking about, just mm-hmm. on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of really cool stories, both anecdotal stories and evidence-based reports, case studies, and also studies showing that people can get the benefits of weightlifting all throughout their age, mm-hmm. aging. My grandma, when she was in her 90s, hurt her knee and had to take some time off. And at that age, If you sit around for a week or two, you lose a lot of muscle mass. You lose a lot of functionality. And she had a PT that was coming out to her house. She was doing band work, standing with the help of her walker and doing one leg stands. So there are versions of resistance training that can be undertaken throughout the lifespan, and the body responds to it. The body responds to load. And now, again, this doesn't mean everybody run over to Big Five and buy 2 50-pound dumbbells and start throwing them around. It can literally be a couple cans of beans and some thoughtful movements done in thoughtful ways. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of this article, the reason why we were drawn to it, is just because we're now having more evidence and realizing how effective using lower rates, weights, sorry, not rates. I wish there were lower rates. Using lower weight, increasing the reps, and doing this on a regular basis, and how beneficial it can be. One of the things that I have utilized personally for training, it's similar, it's a little bit different than your mom, who probably has her favorite YouTuber that does this, but we use Apple Fitness. Apple Fitness has this massive library of classes, and they're really good classes because they can all be done at home or with light weights. They can all be done with as little as a couple small sets of dumbbells and a yoga mat. And they explore a lot of different types of movements that are beyond just traditional like weight. It's not just like you're standing there doing curls and squats. They develop functional movements. I've noticed a huge difference since I've been doing that. I know there's other apps out there. Peloton and Echelon have strength components and those sorts of things. And but then there's also a lot of really good free resources like using YouTube and those types of things. Find your favorite trainer, create a routine, knock out some whole body strength exercises 2 to 3 times a week, and over the period of 6 or 8 weeks, it's likely that you'll see a pretty significant difference.
Yep. Yeah, totally.
What else? Anything else to wrap up?
I don't have anything else. Talked about what we want to talk about.
Yeah, we're really just laying the groundwork for longer discussions throughout this year about different types of resistance training. We want to emphasize that it is readily available and doesn't have to be this intimidating, super hard, super heavy thing. And three, we want to provide some resources to get people over that hump. When we did a survey a couple of years ago, there were a lot of people that said, I'd like to start doing more resistance training. I know it's important. I just don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. For Fit to Teach, what we'd really like to do is start building that knowledge base and getting people over that hump to start trying those things. There are local resources like Mountain Valley has really good trainers, Grand Ron Fitness, Anytime Fitness, they have personal trainers. Mountain Valley does a really good job with aging folks. Mm-hmm. And then we also have all these resources like Apple Fitness. The thing I forgot to say about Apple Fitness is it actually has an adapted, it'll be the person doing the primary workout, but they have another person doing the workout with adaptations. For lower range of movement, lower strength. What you're not trying to do is do too much too quick, make yourself sore, or get yourself injured. Yeah. It's much, much better to do less consistently for a longer period of time. So that's this week's episode. We'll be back next week with another Fit to Teach. Get out there this week and explore some resources for starting low weight, higher rep, achievable resistance training, and try and start establishing a program for that. Get 1 or 2 sessions in this week, see how you feel, and then go from there.
Have a great week.